Welcome to Lent. I pray, as you do, for a Lent that is holy, both as individuals and as a parish. It has been a strength of this church that Lent is observed with the needed seriousness. There's an old saying that if you keep a holy Lent, you will have a joyful Easter. It is true. Easter has a preceding context that cannot be separated from the meaning of the celebration. Jesus' triumph over sin and death is the heart of Easter, and without it, there is no Easter. We must see the sin and the death to exclaim with joy the Easter acclamation that Christ is risen. Jesus' triumph over sin and the forces of death is also the core theme of the first Sunday of Lent. As is always the case, the first Sunday of Lent brings us to the gospel of Jesus' temptation by Satan in the wilderness. The temptation is held by the other readings in a specific context of the problem of sin in general, but we are to focus first on the Lenten meaning of his time in the wilderness. This meaning is given us in the first sentence of the opening collect. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations, and as you know the weakness of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. The temptation of Jesus by Satan is not an accident, but the work of the Spirit, who drives him into this warfare. Jesus begins his ministry after John has baptized him. The time in the wilderness is a kind of boot camp, sin boot camp. Mark does not even specify the temptations as Matthew and Luke do, perhaps because the matter has already been indicated by Mark, the core and important point. Jesus' temptations fall within the providence of God. His Father wills that Jesus be prepared for battle and know intimately what we ourselves know, temptation to sin. Of course, the stakes are infinitely higher, and this is where the first Sunday of Lent leaves us. What will this battle be? Why does it matter so much? And will we choose to side with the Lord, cost what it may, to be his disciple? We are here because we have made that decision. We do it imperfectly, to be sure. Only Jesus is without sin, and so the perfect offering for our own. But we too struggle in the battle of our time and place. And so there is this time in the church here. We are called back to boot camp, lest we get spiritually flabby. One Lent is a long Sunday. We have heard the great litany, and Ash Wednesday is still felt in our bones. I will not dwell long on the other readings, but they are very important. One difference for our times is how we have come to see sin. The great preacher Fleming Rutledge points this out in her sermon on today's lessons. We tend to regard sin as an individual matter, but the ancients saw it more from a collective standpoint, a guilt of humanity writ large. In our first lesson, Noah and his family are saved from the flood. They will become our representatives of a new earth, along with the beasts. But what precedes the flood is urgent for us to see. We are told, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only continually evil. Amen. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animal to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. As we gather in the aftermath of another school shooting, wars, terrorism, desperate refugees, bombed hospitals, tyrants, and internment camps, what does God see now? Is it any different? The answer is no, it is not different. As Reverend Rutledge so rightly observed, God sees the exact same conditions after the flood as before. In fact, God repeats essentially the same words about the dreary state of humankind after the flood. But this time, it is held in God's promise. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the cloud, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This act of God's mercy is given despite the continued state of man's heart, despite the God's eye view of the earth, even as we ourselves see it. But this sin must be dealt with. It is a dealing with preordained by God from Adam and Eve, the new covenant in his blood, Jesus, the one in the wilderness, preparing to be sacrificed for the sin of the world. It is in precisely this universal condition of humanity and our great need that our beloved Peter speaks in the epistle, revealing the very heart of the gospel. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in order to bring us to God. My brothers and sisters, we are in this together, all humanity. Jesus came not just for you and for me, but for the whole world, the whole mess of it. This world we know only too well. This world which repeats and repeats and repeats sin, and God has every right to flood again. But instead, a promise, a new covenant, a new start, the new flood of his blood that takes away the sin of the world. This is Lent, the very heart of it. Rightly did we say with one voice only moments ago, "O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace." Amen. Amen.